Good morning. It is Palm Sunday in Belfair, Washington, and all around the world. And I'm so glad that you guys have joined us in worship from your own homes, wherever you are. It doesn't really matter where we are. This is a day that we celebrate Christ as our King, coming to be with us, coming to begin that journey toward the cross, where he leads by the way of love and sacrifice to make a way for us to be with God our Father. And so wherever you are this morning, I invite you to find something around your house, maybe something a little bit like a branch. Maybe you've got a palm. That would be interesting. Maybe you've got a coat, a robe, a scarf, something that you can wave along as we have a parade for Jesus this morning. As we sing, we're going to join the folks who line the streets of Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday morning, and we're going to shout out with them, Hosanna. And that word Hosanna means God save us or God help us. And so this morning we remember that Jesus is the only one who can save us. He is our help. He is our King. And so as our hearts prepare to worship him this morning, this call to worship comes from Psalm 118. And I'm going to have the praise band join me, but I also invite you to join me. And so between each stanza, the band and you are going to repeat, Hosanna to God, Hosanna in the highest. You'll get it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Hosanna to God, Hosanna in the highest. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. All who fear God say, his love endures forever. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. With the Lord on our side, what can we fear? What can humankind do? Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. We shall triumph over those who surround us and stand in confidence in the Lord our God. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord is our strength and our might. The Lord has become our salvation. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. One more time. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. Let us lift our voices and sing songs of praise. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they'd come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Would you pray with me? Now, Holy Spirit, as we turn to your word, we ask for you to move freely in our hearts. We've come to this place because we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. And so would you help us, O God, to hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. Here we are, your servants, O God. Speak, for we are listening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start this morning with a little bit of a game. It's one of the favorite games of our kids and our youth. It is Would You Rather? And so whoever you're watching with, and if you're not watching with anyone, you can use the comments because you're watching with all of us. I'm going to ask you a question. You got to pick one or the other. You've got to pick one. And whenever I say go, you just go. Don't overthink it. All right? So first question, would you rather have no elbows or no knees? And I have no idea how long it's taking you. I'm assuming you're playing along. The answer is definitely no knees. I'll argue about that with you in the comments later. Would you rather be able to read people's minds or be able to talk back and forth with animals? Which one would you rather? Would you rather have every stoplight, for the traffic light really, for the rest of your life turn green when you come up to it? Or never have to stand in line again? Which one would you rather? Last one. I hope you're actually playing or else this is kind of awkward. Would you rather travel the world for a whole year on a shoestring budget or only get to live in one country for a year but live in great luxury? Which one would you rather? These are fun, and there's tons of these. So with your family today in quarantine, a great quarantine game. Keep playing over lunch all day long. But for just a moment, I want us to put ourselves in a real would you rather kind of day in Jerusalem. The choice on this day, would you rather join the parade of kings, or would you rather join the parade of lambs? Let me explain. Matthew 21 finds us the Sunday before Passover. And Passover was the biggest day of the year in Israel. Jewish families from all over would come to the city for that week, and they'd begin arriving early on Sunday. So imagine hundreds of thousands of people flooding to this one great city. One parade going on in Jerusalem in the background of Matthew 21 is the parade of the governors, the king's parade. You see, the Roman governor Pilate, he typically resided at his palace in Caesarea off on the sea. And yet, during Passover, when all the Jews would come together in one place to celebrate the God who once upon a time freed them from the great oppressor Egypt, this governor knew that he better make his way to Jerusalem for this week so he could be there to nip in the bud any uprisings against Roman authority that might come up. He, the face of the modern day oppressors. Where the oppressed gathered, he was going to be there. And coming from Caesarea, Pilate would have entered Jerusalem from the west. And he would have been riding a war horse at the head of this imperial cavalry, lifting high the name and the authority of the Roman King Herod. You've seen on TV before, haven't you, these military parades? That's essentially what was coming into Jerusalem from the west on this day. A governor representing total power on his war horse with an army of many, many men falling in line behind him. Pilate moving toward his lofty throne. The purpose of his parade to intimidate any that might be revolutionaries in their midst. The purpose of his parade to make folks bow down to him, to the crown. It was a parade moving forward by way of weapons and intimidation, power by fear and control. If you get in line for this parade, there's some promises they try to make. They say, if you get in line for this parade, you'll be safe. You'll be safe. The powers will offer their protection to any who are with them. Get in line with this parade. You might even get some perks. Kings have a liking for their biggest fans. You might get some benefits. You might get some checks. You might get some favors. You might get a pass the next time you get pulled over for speeding through the city. Get in line with this parade, and you can probably keep living your life mostly unbothered. Get in line with this parade, and you might even get to be a part of a people who get to be number one. The streets are lining with people on this day, happily getting in line for this parade. Thousands upon thousands, people bowing down to power and to status and to control and to comfort. And you can join this parade too. That king on the war horse, turns out he'll take anyone who will bow down to him. This could be your parade. The thing is, there's another parade happening on the other side of town. And this parade is different in every possible way. Remember, this is the Sunday before Passover, which is coming on Friday. And on Passover, every Jewish family that has made their way right there to Jerusalem is going to be expected to sacrifice a lamb on behalf of their whole family to cover their sins. Forgiveness is coming 5 days away. And Sunday of this Passover week, that's the day that the lambs would come to town. And these temple lambs, they were raised in this little town called Bethlehem. You heard of it? 6 miles from Jerusalem, just a little rural community. It's the town where King David was born. And not only King David, it's the town where Jesus was born. The king come to save us, not born in the palace, but in the fields of this town called Bethlehem, that little town where sacrificial lambs were born. And on this Sunday, the shepherds would lead their thousands of lambs into Jerusalem for that 6-mile trek. Can you picture the scene in your head? They'd enter the city from the east, and they'd be heading straight for the temple, where those lambs would be prepared for their death. And so as the lambs came in, the people would line the streets on both sides, and they would watch all of these lambs coming for them, and they would wave their branches, and they would sing some psalms. These were the creatures that God had sent to carry their sins. And so they would look upon these lambs, and they would ask God, "Oh God, help us. Oh God, save us." On this day, Jesus comes into Jerusalem, not in the front of the parade of the kings, but at the back of the parade of the lambs. Get that in your heart. On this day, Jesus comes into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He comes in not leading his imperial army, but in line with thousands of living sacrifices. He comes not heading toward a throne, but to a cross. Not parading around to show his power and to intimidate, but he comes behind the lambs to show that his love is the way and that he will draw everyone to himself. You see, there were two parades going on this day. And so the real question is, would you rather join the parade of the kings or the parade of the lambs? On this day in Jerusalem, most everyone chose one or the other. And so we've got to ask ourselves this morning, which parade are we in? The King's parade. It's fueled by these things called power and self-interest. In this parade, they tell you that the last man standing wins, and so it's everyone for himself. Look out for number one. Don't trust easily. Assume the worst about people. Don't you dare let them know your weakness. They will just use it against you. Convince folks that you've got this all on your own. Get them before they get you. Don't be generous. You'll just get scammed. Don't receive a favor. They'll use it to get a leg up on you. In this parade, folks have an idea all the time of where they rank in the world, and they are truly convinced that there are really some people that they are better than because of race or politics or money or education or because of something. They'll make up anything. This parade, it pushes self-interest to the very front. That's what moves it along. You'll always know who's behind you and who owes you something in this world. If you walk in this parade, you'll hear its chants, my rights, my stuff, my turn. Self-interest is the heartbeat of the King's parade. And you know, lots of people are in this parade. If I'm honest, there are days that I feel that I'm marching in this parade pretty well myself. But the problem is, Jesus isn't in this parade. He's across town in the Lamb's parade. In that parade that moves forward, not by power and self-interest, but by love and sacrifice. If you jump over to that parade, if you're listening, you will hear them say that the one who lays down her life gets it, wins. In that parade, you will hear them say that they actually believe that those who love their enemies come out victorious. That parade, if you're listening, it'll tell you that if there's gonna be a line at all, you'll be in the back of it, and that'll be okay with you. In this parade of sacrifice, you will be generous, even if it means you go without. Even when you get scammed, you'll put your heart out there for the good of another again in this parade. In this parade, the weakest places in us, in this place of sacrifice, this parade of sacrifice, people carry these signs around with those weaknesses named right down them for all to see. And so that everyone will know that it's just a whole bunch of folks who need some help. And the good news is, help comes from the Lord, that one who's riding that donkey in this parade. In this parade that moves by love and by sacrifice, folks take a risk on calling everyone neighbor, on living simply so others may simply get to live. In this parade, folks are busy turning the spotlights off of themselves so God's glory might shine. Jesus is in this parade. The parade of the lambs. Two parades this morning. One marches to the beat of power and self-interest, and the other to the tune of love and of sacrifice. I ask, which parade are your branches waving on today? Which one are you going to walk in all your days? Jesus is only in one of these parades. And so choose wisely, my friends. The King's parade. In that one, folks bow down to all the temporary treasures that their hearts desire, seeking those first. I mean, the King's Parade, if you walk in it, you really might get some perks. You really might get a one-night stay in the castle, or at least a nice vacation eventually. This could be your ticket to fine dining and to corner offices. As you walk along in the King's Parade, it won't be long before someone comes up beside you and they begin to tell you that really your whole life is about climbing some metaphorical ladder. And they'll tell you the view from the top, it's really nice. From there, you can look down on all the other people who are a little bit less impressive. The King's Parade gives you weapons and gives you guards to protect you, and you're certain to have some nice titles added to your name. It cushions your bank account, lets you skirt by when crises come and take down the average Joe. It keeps you marching and marching and marching to make a name for yourself and to build a castle for your things and to secure a big net under you to keep you safe. Good things, wanted things, all of these, but also temporary things. Has anyone been to King Herod's castle lately? No, because it doesn't exist. Has anyone seen that beautiful museum in Israel where all of Pilate's awards and achievements are on display for all to see for all of time? You neither? Because there's no such thing. Has anyone been pulled over by a Roman soldier lately, forced to pay up? No? Because it turns out the Romans not had very much power in very many places for a very long time. You see, everything about the King's Parade, as shiny and tempting as it is temporary. It's so, so temporary. And yet, crazy thing is, by the dozens, folks sell their souls. They give their energies and their priorities to marching along for these temporary perks of the King's Parade. And at some point in this march, they become weary and tired, and they begin to wonder, how can I have all these things and it still feels so empty? And they start to look around and wonder where Jesus is in their parade. And you know, it's hard to find because turns out Jesus is across town in the Lamb's parade. And that parade where full attention is given to what's going to be forever. Eternal things. In this parade, Jesus is actually walking away from a throne and a castle here on earth, and he is willingly entering into a temple where his life will be laid down and ended. Rather than rise in this parade of the lambs, Jesus will fall. Rather than wow a crowd, he will watch them run away from him and reject him. Rather than slay his enemies and stand at ease unopposed, he will tell his friends to lay down their swords, and he will let his oppressors bind him. In this parade, eventually he will lay his head not in a palace, but in a tomb. He won't wear a robe. Instead, the very clothes he is wearing will be torn from him. And he won't be climbing a ladder to look down on contempt on all those below him, but instead he will climb up on this cross and look down in pity and cry out, Father, forgive them. You see, everything gained in the King's Parade is lost in the Lamb's Parade. But when the King's Parade is over and they've swept up the streets and gone back to life as normal, the Lamb's Parade is just getting started. When all the things that the people in the King's Parade sold their souls for fade away, the sacrificial lamb is still there and he is seated on his eternal throne and he's ready to bestow life and salvation on any who will choose him. Forever receiving the praises of all of those who will join the chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and majesty and power. This is the song that goes on and on into eternity. This is the song that lasts, the song that begins in the Lamb's parade. And so I ask, when you take an honest look at your life today, your priorities, your efforts, your heart's real strivings and desires, are you marching in the parade of temporary treasures? Or are you marching with Jesus in pursuit of those eternal things? The things that look like Jesus and sound like Jesus and point to Jesus. The things that join into the very mission of Jesus. There are two parades. One's marching hard after all the temporary pleasures of riches and comfort and status. The other is marching hard after the heart of Christ that will beat forever. Which parade are your branches waving in today? Which one will your feet march in for all of your days? My friends, Jesus is only in one of these parades. Choose wisely. But you know, the nice thing about the King's parade is it doesn't really have that much to do with hard things. You ever notice how kings don't really very often enter into the hardest places, but instead they sit above them and they make decisions from the comforts of their own thrones, or they go around them in some way using their own special forces and their own special help. They fly over the damage in their airplanes and look down below and wish those folks down there well. They hear about suffering somewhere in their land and they might free up some money, but rarely do they miss a meal in that process. The King's parade. If they're marching along and they come up to a problem ahead, the mantra is anything but let's go through it. Let's go around it. Let's rise above it. Never go through it. Kings don't go through it. Kings solve problems from afar. They send people to the front lines. They don't stand on the front lines. They're not gonna go through it. And oh, how tempting it is to join that march. Hard things ahead. Avoid. Go around. This path in front of us right now, pandemic, job loss, death. Fear. We all want to know if there's some way around it, some way we can just rush past it, some way to sit on our comfortable couches and just avoid it. The heartbeat of the King's parade. But then, don't forget, there's this other parade going on where Jesus is riding on his donkey right into the heart of the pain and the suffering. He sees a problem ahead, the brokenness, the sin of humankind, all the ways we've turned on God and turned on each other. And rather than sit on a throne far off and tell us, he'll send us some good luck trying to fix it, he rides that donkey right into the temple and gives himself over to go through it. The pain of it, the shame of it. The separation of it, the horror of it, the tragedy of it, all of it. The Lamb's parade sees the hard road ahead and keeps walking one step in front of the other, knowing there's no overcoming it without going through it. You see, we are in some days of struggle. And I ask you, my friends, whose parade have you joined? The kings are immediately looking for a way to jump ship and avoid it. Or the lambs, who are choosing to go through the hard stuff, knowing your King is riding through it too. I've heard over and over this week from doctors that the only way out of this pandemic is going to be by going through it. There's no escape. There's no sitting this one out for anyone in the world. So we get to join the Lamb's parade. And we get to keep walking this hard path in front of us. And here's the good news. Jesus is on this path. Jesus is in this parade. And Jesus overcomes the worst things by going right on through those things. And so my friends, take heart with the Son of David as our King, with our hearts tied to the heart of the only one who saves. We will just keep on walking through it, and we will be okay. With Jesus, can't go over it, can't go around it, must go through it. And through it with Jesus, what looks like death one day gives way to life. So I ask one last time, would you rather spend the rest of your days walking in the parade of the kings or walking in the parade of the lambs? Jesus is only in one of those parades. May we have the wisdom, the courage to choose well. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, on this day we join the crowds and we bow down to you, the true King. And we cry out to you, save us, the only one who can. And we cling to you, the one who doesn't avoid hard things and leave us to do them on our own, but the one who rides right through the hardest of places to show us that in you we also overcome. So help us, O God, this week, this holy week, as we journey to the cross and then to the tomb. Help us draw close to you, cling to you, keep our eyes, our hearts on you, for you are the only way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.